Hey friends, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Thank you. Yeah, usually when you see me, I'm like, I look dead.
You have naked lids?
Yeah. I look like a boy.
No, you don't. You never look like a dead boy. Thank goodness.
So, what you got going on?
Oh, you know, just same old, same old. You know how we were talking about how when you ask somebody how they're doing? I went to Publix. Was it last night? And the lady was like, hi, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good, thank you. And then I was like, I guess you better ask her how she's doing. And it was something I would live to regret.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. And you did say you usually regret.
I know. I said, and how are you doing? And she was like, oh, I'm so tired. It's been such a long day. You know, with my job, I talk to people all day long. And, you know, I have an hour left of my shift. And I just cannot wait. And I was like, oh, man, I get that. And then I'm putting my groceries on the belt. And she keeps talking. I was like, you could reserve some of this energy.
Well, and you know, she's probably said the same thing about exactly, 20 or 30 times.
But you know, I was like, well, when you get home, you can put your feet up and stop talking.
Look at, I was going to say, look at you giving her positive, positive
advice. I know,
vibes.
I was like, well, you know, that's something to look forward to. You can go home and just sit in silence.
Or does she?
I get it. I know what it's like to have a job where you have to talk to people all day long. Yeah. And it's so exhausting. You just literally don't want to talk at all.
And you just look like someone that she could just unload her frustrations.
I get that a lot. I feel as though sometimes I have an invisible sign that says, approach me. I don't know. I really don't know why, because I try to maintain a low profile.
Right.
I try to look unapproachable.
Mm-hmm.
I try to look unkidnappable. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want people wanting to kidnap me or spend more time with me than they need to. But somehow, anyways,
it's like, oh, she doesn't care about the way she looks. She'll understand how I feel.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Always trying to, you know, look as homeless as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But
I usually succeed at that, so.
Oh, you do not. You have the most beautiful skin.
Oh, stop.
You don't need makeup. You have, like, perfectly placed
freckles.
See,
you can't even say it straight.
See, you lying through your teeth.
Uh-huh, I see you.
No. Anyways, y'all know she's cute. Oh, y'all please. Seen her picture out there. Stop. You know. Anyway.
Okay, so, enough about me. Let's get on with the
story. Enough about me. Who you got for us?
David Roy Nixon. Does that sound familiar to you?
I don't know this guy.
It's close to home over here in Texas.
Oh.
Again.
All right.
So David Roy Nixon, he was born March 9th of 1962 in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Okay.
I don't know when he came to Texas, if it was before or after he married his first wife, who would be Donna Lella.
Donna Lella.
Yeah, does that sound familiar to you?
No. Okay. Just so, wanted to say it.
I know. Isn't it a fun name?
Donna Lella. Lella.
When I was listening to the 48 Hours episode on this, he kept saying Donna Lella. And I thought that was her whole first name. And I'm like, okay, typing Donna Lella, like the whole. But no, it's Donna Lella. Lella is the last name. So so you know, because I was confused.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. So they got married in 1990, and they had a son named Nicholas. David started selling real estate. Mostly high-end properties in Dallas, Texas.
All right.
He was a realtor with Realty Executives of South Lake and would eventually become a top 20 producer in Tarrant County.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah. He was a hot shot. Donna said David loved surprises. He wanted bigger, better, faster. He traveled often, and that got him into some trouble.
Ooh.
He began an affair with a flight attendant, and her name was Lisa.
Lisa Lella?
I'm not going to give her last name just because I don't want to bring, you know, attention to her much, but... David did divorce Donna in what was said to be a bitter divorce, and he married Lisa.
Okay.
There's not much to say about his marriage to Lisa other than it would only last 2 years. They seemed to be, or that seemed to be another bad situation for David because he had to obtain a temporary protective order against Lisa.
What?
Apparently she was making threats to him at the end of their relationship. I don't know. I didn't read into that.
So, this seems like the perfect setup for him, though. He likes to have affairs. She's a flight attendant. Gone all the time.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, and yeah, when you have no trust in that in a relationship, that happens. Mm-hmm. So before their divorce was finalized, he began a relationship with Tracy Frame. They met through a friend at a party, and I think at this time it was around 1998, somewhere around there. Tracy called him very charming and smooth and easy to get along with. She wasn't ready to jump into a relationship. I mean, she was 27 at the time. She didn't have any kids. I'm not sure. It didn't say anything about a previous marriage, but...
That's young.
Yeah, 27. And so he was 7 years older than her. And so she was reluctant, but David was very persistent.
Yeah. Well, and he was established, so I'm sure she felt like she was going to be taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Too. Yeah. Remember, he's a hot shot making some money.
Mm-hmm. South Lake. Okay.
Yeah. So they quickly moved into a house together in Grapevine, Texas, and they lived the high life, traveling, expensive cars. David had bought his and her matching Lexuses.
Oh, cute. Yes.
His was white and Tracy's was black.
Oh.
So they were just buying the best of the best, living life. They partied on the boat on Grapevine Lake often, and everybody knew everybody who went to the lake and partied. They all would get on their boats and meet up, and one friend said, you never know who was going to wake up with who the next morning.
Hey, it's that lake life. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. I'm an ocean girl myself, but hey, if that's how they do it on the lake, go right ahead.
Yeah. So it was said of Tracy that she was really attractive and got attention from the other men on the lake. And a friend of Tracy said she loved David and would never pursue any of the other men. Their relationship started off good and happy, you know, just like everybody else at the beginning. But just as quick as the relationship started, it became unstable and unhinged. They were a lot of fun to be around, according to their friends, but it was very uncomfortable when they argued. Friends say that the arguments were mostly about money and David's gambling debts.
No bueno.
Rumor has it he owed over $100,000 in back taxes. Whoa. And so when they bought the house together, well, it wasn't together. They put it in Tracy's name.
Oh. Shady.
Mm-hmm. So, jumping to April 9th of 2002, Tracy had changed the locks and locked him out of the house. David called the police, and he is quoted telling the dispatcher, basically, it's my house. I was dumb enough to put it in my girlfriend's name. So the police came and intervened in the argument, and once Tracy let him back in and things were calmed down and better, the police left. Just a couple weeks later, they ended the relationship. They decided enough was enough.
And they weren't married? They were just partners?
Yeah.
Okay.
So David, he found a new place to live, and they were making plans for him to pack his belongings and move out. She rented a moving truck with a furniture dolly to help in the move. She rented one of those yellow Penske box trucks. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all seen them on the road.
Honey, I've had a moving truck or two in my time.
Uh-huh.
Never Penske, though.
Oh.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. Pesky Pensy.
Pesky Pensy.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to get...
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know why that just popped in my head, but there you go. Oh. I'm going to get sued now.
Oh, great. Hey, sponsor us if you want Pensy.
Yeah, I'm talking bad about your company. Sponsor us. Okay, so April 20th of 2002, the weekend that David was supposed to be packing the moving truck, Donna went into the police station and reported David missing.
What?
Donna? She told the police that their son Nicholas, who was 10 at the time, had plans with David. I think David was supposed to be going to Nicholas's baseball game, and David never showed. He was very punctual with Nicholas. It was very unusual for him to miss that, and Nicholas had called his dad, left him messages, and none of those calls were returned. Nicholas and David had a great relationship. They did a lot together. They traveled together. And they were just buddies.
Yeah. Aww.
No one remembered seeing David after April 18th of 2002. And on that day, he had showed a property in Southlake to a client. Donna, she just knew something bad had happened. She called Tracy and asked her, what did you do with David?
Oh.
And Tracy told her that David was on vacation.
What?
Unbothered, unworried.
Okay.
Is that a word? Unworried?
Unworried? Yeah. I mean, it is now.
Okay. Donna said, David is missing, Tracy. What did you do with him? So Donna, she felt uneasy that Tracy just didn't seem worried at all. Tracy's response was that it was normal for David to just go off and do his own thing. He would go to stay at a friend's house, or he would go to Vegas for the weekend of gambling, and she accused him of getting prostitutes and call girls.
Oh, my.
She said, I never call him and beg him to come home. She basically just let him do his own thing, is basically what she was saying. But we can all guess when he got back, they would have an argument about that mm-hmm. situation.
I'm sure.
On April 22nd, a call came into police reporting a fire by a storm drain in a abandoned warehouse district in Grand Prairie. Once first responders got to the scene and put the fire out, they saw what was burning. And that, my friends, was a body of a man who was wrapped in what appeared to be an electric heating blanket and a blue tarp.
Oh my gosh.
So even though he was burned, they could tell that he was Caucasian and had brown hair. Okay. Investigators quickly turned to dental records to identify the man. It was confirmed that the burned body was that of David Nixon.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I'm sure you all did. Dun, dun, dun.
I knew it.
The suspense was killing you. Upon further evaluation, they confirmed the cause of death was from a gunshot wound to the chest. Upon hearing of the death of her ex-husband, Donna told investigators, "Tracy Frame did it. David told me I had to tell you."
What?
She said, "David told me that he had a premonition that he would be murdered by Tracy."
Whoa.
So naturally, Tracy was one of the first that detectives wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
Detective Larry Hallmark felt that there was something telling about her demeanor. The first thing she asked was, "How did y'all identify him?"
What?
Mm-hmm.
Who asks that?
But in her interview on 48 Hours, Tracy said she knew the detectives were saying that that was her immediate response, but she adamantly denies that. She said they came into the room and told her that the body had been found and he was shot in the chest and he had been burned. So just to play devil's advocate, I'm thinking, if I was told that someone had been burned, I would also wonder how they identified the body.
Well, and if someone told me that one of my loved ones, they found them dead, I wouldn't believe it. Like, I would want to see proof, you know? So,
yeah,
maybe I can see
where
something might come out of your mouth where it was like something like that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, detectives say they hadn't even told Tracy of the damages to David's body.
Oh.
But she says they did. So who's telling the truth? Yeah. Might I add, if she did murder David, she is a very good liar. Watching her on 48 Hours, you know, I feel like I can usually tell when someone's lying.
Yeah.
But watching this interview, it's really hard to tell. She makes eye contact and she's very straight-faced and just matter of fact.
Yeah.
But maybe I just missed the right body language. Looking at other people's comments about the show, they're like, "Oh, she's so guilty." But I just didn't. I thought she lied very well.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. But even though this case is mostly based on circumstantial evidence with no smoking gun, spoiler alert, she had a lot of strikes against her. Remember I told you earlier that Tracy told Donna that David was on vacation?
Yeah.
Well, she told an investigator that David had moved and was working out of state.
Okay.
So that's
discrepancy number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the managing director of David's real estate office asked where he was, Tracy said she had no idea.
Okay.
She told her dad that David went to California.
All right. She's telling multiple stories.
Yeah. So in the interview with detectives, she didn't hide the fact that they had had problems in their relationship. I mean, she freely gave that information up and told them that the fall of the previous year, she found out she was pregnant. Oh. She says David never wanted the baby. He was not happy.
Uh-oh.
She ended up losing the baby. Oh. And she blamed David for the loss. She even wrote him a letter letting him know how bitter she was. Mm. So I'm sure you've heard body language experts say that if a person follows up a question with the same question, it's a telltale sign that they are lying, right?
Alex Murdoch.
Right.
Did I shoot my son? No. Did I shoot my wife? No.
No. No.
No.
That one's for Kennedy.
Shout out.
No.
No.
Okay. So detectives, that's exactly what she did. Detectives asked her, what happened to him? And she says, what happened to him? I don't know. That's what I want y'all to tell me.
Yeah, that's telltale.
Mm.
It gives them time to think of a response by repeating a question.
Yes, exactly. So Detective Hallmark openly says Tracy was lying through the whole interview. Next, David's white Lexus was found parked at the local Tom Thumb.
Oh?
That store was within walking distance from his house. And when looking at the abandoned vehicle, they noticed that the driver's seat had been moved forward.
Oh, so like much a lady so, had driven it?
Mm-hmm. Not a 6'4 man?
Right.
Yeah. So it was moved forward so much so that a 6'4 person would not fit well enough to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy is 5'7. Now she could have fit.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Hallmark also was able to get CCTV from Tom Thumb. So the first thing they discover is at 1:30 a.m., the same day that David was discovered burning. Yikes. David's white Lexus drives into the parking lot and is parked where they found it. A woman who looks a lot like Tracy. She gets out and walks to a black Lexus.
Hmm.
You know, the his and hers.
Mm-hmm.
Gets in the driver's seat and drives off. As he keeps watching the video, retracing the steps taken, he sees that 4 hours earlier than that, the same woman parked the black Lexus and walked to a Penske truck and drove away.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He keeps watching. The previous afternoon, the day before, the Penske truck is seen driving in the parking lot, then parked. The same woman is seen getting out of the truck and walking away from the truck and walking away from the store with a big black dog.
Oh.
Who do you think had a big black dog?
David.
Tracy had a big black dog.
Hmm. She's playing musical cars.
Mm-hmm. She's preparing for something.
Oh, she knows what she's doing.
So at some point, this woman is seen walking into the store and walks out carrying a couple of grocery bags. It does show her at the register buying some things.
Well, while I'm here, I better get some more bananas.
The video is a little blurry, so you never really can see the woman's face, just her stature. She's wearing a ball cap with a long ponytail of dark hair. The video, yeah, just never gets a good look at her face.
Did Tracy have long dark hair?
That is my next point. So in the interview on 48 Hours, Tracy says, the woman in the video does not even look like me. So here, Candace, I'll send you this screenshot of both.
Wait.
I'll just text it to you.
Oh, that's her.
So I think it can definitely be her.
I'm looking at the thighs.
Okay.
Okay. She's got some thunder thighs, and I mean that in the nicest way. Okay.
And I'll bring up that point in a little bit, but yes.
That's, you know, the Kardashians, they have sculpted their bodies to have thick thighs, so mm-hmm. it's very on trend.
Yes.
So I'm just saying what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing the thighs.
She's very thin.
She has got a really tiny waist.
Yeah.
Thin arms. Like, she is has a thin build, but she does have some thick thighs. Thick thighs.
So, yeah. Just for you listening, there's a side-by-side. It's a freeze frame from when Tracy was in the interrogation room. Now
we'll post it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. On our Instagram. Her hair is up in a clip or something, and it does look lighter, like maybe it was recently highlighted or maybe the lighting in the room just made it look lighter. However, Tracy really did have long, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
In the picture of the CCTV, like I said, she's wearing a ball cap, but you can see her long ponytail
mm-hmm.
and her dark hair. But they do have the same build. Their shoulders look the same. Their arms and waist. Yeah,
I was going to say the shoulders as well.
Yeah, the arms and waist are the same size. And the hips, they look the same size.
Yeah.
So, also, detectives find that the woman had used Tracy's Tom Thumb rewards card to save.
Oh, my. Tom Thumb.
Yeah. She saved like 20 or 30 cents on this purchase.
You could have just forgone the sale, you know?
Right? So,
oh my.
And that's Tracy's next point. She says, it's still not her in the video. She's sticking to that story. And she questions, if she just murdered somebody, why would she be traipsing around the town and leaving her trail? Like, okay, well, that's a good point.
Anybody could have used my rewards card that just so happened to have the exact same physique.
Yeah.
Is there any Tom Thumbs in existence anymore?
I don't think so. I have not been to one in years.
Yeah.
So, remember, this was in 2002.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One report I saw said that Tracy says the whole weekend, Saturday and Sunday, she was at her parents' house in Arlington, just so that she could be away from David. Mm-hmm. He could pack and do so. But another report was that Tracy couldn't give a good alibi. She didn't have an answer for where she was. So I don't know which one it was.
Mm.
Now, the neighbors were questioned and asked if they saw anything out of the norm during the weekend or the last few days. And they said the only thing that was there at the house was a yellow Penske truck in the driveway all weekend.
I mean, what a good way to move a body. It's got a ramp.
Mm-hmm.
She had a dolly.
Yeah.
She had a moving truck.
I mean, just like the detectives. Look at you. I'm so proud.
I am a detective, Elena.
Yeah, I believe you. So Tracy told detectives that she dropped the Penske truck back off to the rental place on that Saturday night. But the lady working at the business on Sunday night says Tracy's Lexus was still there at 9 p.m. and the truck had not been turned in.
Lies.
Mm-hmm. And so even one point of the interview with that detectives did with her, she's like, oh, no, that didn't happen. Oh, no, I never said that. And so the detective was like,
just deny.
So everybody else is lying.
Yeah, everybody else is lying. Exactly.
Oh,
I know some people like that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
They're lying.
But another thing about this Penske truck, there were tire impressions backed up next to David's body that perfectly matched the tires on that truck. And
I bet.
Yeah, so on this truck, it was very, what's the word, distinct. It was like you could tell, okay, the Penske truck had six tires. They had one on each side of the front and then two tires, like a dual system, on each side of the back. And it matched up perfectly.
Idiot.
In the walkthrough and evaluation of Tracy's house, detectives saw no trace of blood, even with luminol. Nothing.
Wow.
And if I remember right, she had like white carpet.
Did they look at the truck?
They did.
Forensically test the truck?
I The truck was rented out to like three other people. By the time they went to evaluate the truck, they had already rented it out to three other people. And but they did still do their investigation. Like they got the tire prints and
But can you imagine being like, "Oh, I rented a truck that someone used to transport a body.
Yeah,
no big deal.
Yeah." They don't know won't hurt them, so hopefully they didn't know.
Hopefully not. Well, they will now.
I'm never... Okay, I can't talk bad about Penske. Stop it. So they even brought in cadaver dogs, and they did not alert on anything.
Wow.
Yeah, so detectives, they did find something, though. They found a remote that had been cut from an electric heating blanket.
Where?
It didn't say in where the house? They found. It was at Tracy's house, but okay. It didn't say in her bedroom, wherever. But they found the remote to the heating blanket, but there was no heating blanket around.
Interesting. I always keep my heating blanket remotes attached to the heating blanket.
It comes in because, handy.
Yeah, it does. Uh-huh. For sure.
But it's also confusing because why not use that cord to, like, help fasten this blanket that you wrapped around somebody?
Right. Well, maybe she did. Maybe the remote got ripped off or something, like when she was...
Oh, it got ripped off. Okay, that makes
maybe sense. Like... You know, when she was moving the dolly or something, it got stuck in the wheel or stuck, you know what I mean?
Light bulbs.
And ding, the ding, dolly ding. Has a, like a flat, you know, and it's kind of sharp, like a metal thing on the bottom of the dolly that you put the boxes on.
Yeah.
So maybe she like chopped it off.
Okay.
When she was wheeling the body up the ramp or something.
Yeah.
And then just like kicked it back.
Well, that makes a lot more sense than just cutting it off for no reason. But another thing is they found that Tracy had a new mattress put on her bed.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So
sleep number, Tempur-Pedic?
It didn't say, but they did say that it didn't match the box springs that,
that it was on. Okay, so, all right.
And actually, Lisa, the second wife... ex-wife, she said, "Oh no, David would not have ever slept on that bed."
David would not have an off-brand box spring that didn't match.
Yeah, I don't know if she meant because of the brand or if it was because of the
like the stiffness type of mattress. Yeah.
But so detectives, you've already kind of said it. They thought that Tracy shot David while he was asleep on their bed. She wrapped him in the electric blanket, and then she rolled his 6'4", 200-pound body onto the furniture dolly.
Yeah.
And that way she was able to roll it up the ramp into the Penske truck.
Was this upstairs, the bedroom?
I want to say they did have a two-story... But
well, hey, Texas homes, mostly the master's downstairs. So maybe it was downstairs because I cannot imagine her getting that body down the stairs on a dolly.
Right.
She would kill herself.
Yeah.
If she lost control of that.
Yeah. So that was not specified in anything that I saw or read.
Yeah.
So then she rolled him up in the truck. Then she took and dumped his body by the storm drain. Their suspicion is that she tried to stuff his body down the storm drain, but couldn't make him fit. So she left him there. She went to go get supplies because they did determine that he was probably shot and killed, I think they said April 19th. So then the fire happened. Okay. What did I say? April 22nd.
The next day. Oh, 2 days later?
Yeah.
3 days
later? So what they're thinking is she shot him on the 19th, left him in the bed until she could...
Oh, my.
I don't know. Maybe that's how the blood didn't drip down
Yeah,
just to get in to take him into the truck. And so most of the blood was on the mattress. So now she doesn't have the mattress. Mm-hmm. There's no blood to be seen.
Did they ever find the mattress?
No. No, because, you know, when you get a new mattress, usually sometimes they'll take the mattress, your old mattress for you, but they, it that didn't happen.
Didn't say.
Yeah, so they
didn't take it. She took it somewhere.
Yeah, she had to have taken it in the Penske truck and dropped it off at a dump site somewhere. I don't know. That's what they're thinking.
Ay, ay, ay.
So she went to go get supplies and went back later and lit him on fire so that she could, like, easily maybe push him down into the storm drain.
Oh, my gosh.
Or just to get rid of evidence. Who knows?
Lord almighty.
So even though Donna accused Tracy of murdering David because of money and greed, Tracy says that there was nothing to gain from his murder for her. She had no motive and she just did not do it. And she really had nothing financial to gain except for the house.
I was about to say the house.
Yeah. With David gone, she wouldn't have to deal with him fighting for the house. And I've heard it said that she was not about to go move out of this house and go stay at an apartment and drive a Honda. Like,
well, but she has to pay for the house now, right?
Exactly. So that was and kind of 50-50 for me.
Expensive house.
Yeah.
And maybe they put a huge down payment on it. I don't know. And her mortgage was peanuts. I don't know.
Who
Some
knows?
People do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that specific, but.
But yeah, I can totally see that being a motive.
Yeah, because at least now she doesn't have to fight with him about it. And right. And if she wanted to, even if she didn't want to keep the house, she could sell it and make the money from it.
Right, exactly.
And go find her another good house.
Mm-hmm.
So Tracy was quickly arrested and charged with David's murder.
Wow.
She was released on bond and had to wear an ankle monitor. She became involved with Roland Taylor. He was a dentist in the area, and they knew each other from hanging out and partying at Grapevine Lake. As a matter of fact, when she was arrested, he became one of her biggest supporters and defenders.
Mm.
They fell in love through the process, and he proposed.
Okay.
He talked about
Roland.
He talked about how everyone thinks she's a terrible person, and that's further from the truth. He says he loves Tracy, and he will never leave her, and he will always be by her side, no matter what.
Okay. We hear you.
He suggests that the people that did this to David was probably someone that he owed money to from his gambling debts.
All right.
He said it would benefit Tracy to keep him alive because David owed her a lot of money. So if he was dead, how could he pay it back?
True.
He also commented on the figure of the woman in the CCTV video. He says that the woman's thighs were touching, and
okay.
He said about Tracy that woman has got a set of legs on her that don't quit. Yeah, so
oh my.
He goes, there's no doubt in my mind that that is not Tracy, but we'll show you the screenshot. It's the same. Yeah.
Them the same thighs.
Mm-hmm. Donald Fear, he is Tracy's attorney, and he calls this a purely circumstantial case. He talked about how they pretty much honed in and focused only on Tracy. She was arrested within 36 hours of David's murder when he was found, which is, he says, unheard of. Unless she's standing there with a smoking gun.
Mm.
And he said that Detective Hallmark got it all wrong. He only wanted to make a quick arrest to look good to be able to get a promotion to sergeant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So there was no evidence of a crime scene at Tracy's house. Her attorney said that after watching the interview with detectives, she doesn't look like she's lying or being evasive. However, She just looks confused. The detectives did a really good job at making her look tripped up.
Well, they can do that.
Yeah, they can do that. And like I said, in the interview on 48 Hours, if she murdered him, she's a very good liar saying that she didn't.
Some people convince themselves and they believe their own lies.
Yeah. But Tracy's attorney fought back with other possible theories. Tracy said David was known to carry large amounts of cash and he flaunted it and suggested that he could have been murdered in a robbery. Another friend, Jerry Val, he was David's friend from hanging out at Grapevine Lake. He was known to help people who were in a bind and he would loan money. Tracy told investigators that he was supposed to be meeting David to exchange money. Well, when Jerry was questioned, he said he and David did borrow from each other, but all debts were paid. He said, "We were just meeting up to have a drink together. It got too late and we canceled the meeting." And he also commented that David never carried large amounts of cash. Another theory about 4 months before David was murdered, there was a woman named Janet Dolan that was murdered. Her case had a couple of similarities to David's, and they both were wrapped in a tarp and left by a storm drain.
Weird.
Close by each other. And they both were caught on fire.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So they tried to say whoever killed Janet had to have killed David. I mean, that sounds legit.
Right.
But on the contrary, their cases had really no connection after detectives looked into it. Janet was a 22-year-old prostitute, and detectives deemed the case a crime of opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think maybe one reason Tracy caught David on fire was to mimic Janet's murder and make it look like it was connected.
She probably saw that on the news and thought, I know.
Yeah, that might be when she got her wheels turning and she's like, that started planning it. The Penske truck, moving the cars around.
And that's the thing is like, I'm sorry, but if I'm kicking somebody out of the house, I'm not going to rent them a moving truck. They can do that on their own dime. They can take care of that.
Yeah.
I'm not helping at all.
Well, and honestly,
they can just get out.
David probably did foot the bill for it. He just told her to probably rent it. Get me one of those so I can get out of here, you know?
Yeah, well, or she was just like, you know what? I'm just going to get you a moving truck so that when I kill you, I can easily dispose of your body.
And that's the thing, like, I don't think he did ask for this moving truck. I think he did.
Yeah.
So I have other ideas about that point about Janet Dolan's murder and it being connected, but I'm not going to publicly accuse. So yeah, we'll just move on.
Ooh, we'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm. Tracy's next theory was that Donna, the first wife, was the secondary beneficiary on a $500,000 insurance policy. Nicholas, their son, was the primary beneficiary, but since he was 10. Under 18, she would be tending to the money.
Gotcha.
So Tracy says Donna received everything after David's murder. And when asked, Donna says she received less than $10,000.
What?
Yeah. I'm assuming it was coming to her or to Nicholas in payments, or maybe she just kept everything aside for Nicholas and didn't want to touch it. But she says in the 48 Hours interview, she says she received less than $10,000. And she would not call losing David again at all.
Yeah.
And she said it's actually the hardest thing she had been through, especially for her son, Nicholas.
Well, yeah.
And she, course. She questioned, why in the world would I take my son's father away from him? Just doesn't make sense.
Well, and he had already been two women removed from her anyways.
Exactly.
And it doesn't seem like, I mean, that just doesn't work out for me at all.
No. So Nicholas, he says that Tracy is the only person that could, that he could think of that would murder his dad because everybody else liked him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, usually kids can tell who's bad and good, so.
It's true.
Nicholas told detectives that David had a gun and that he kept it in a safe at the home that he shared with Tracy. David had showed the gun to Nicholas to make sure he knew about it and make sure that he was okay with it. The safe was in the master bedroom where David and Tracy slept, and that gun was not found in the safe, and it has not ever been found.
Uh-huh.
But Tracy's response is, oh, David never had a gun.
Okay, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two men, John Wright and Mike Heaton or Hedden, from H&H Janitorial Supply, they talked to investigators. I guess maybe they saw her picture on the news or something and they're like, hey, we've seen her before. They go to investigators and they said Tracy came into their store to buy $100 worth of cleaning supplies.
I'm sure she did.
It was the day after the murder. She told them she needed to remove odor and blood. Like, she told them that.
I can't believe this woman. What? I left a dead body. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I left a dead body on my mattress mm-hmm. for like a day.
So how do I get?
And it stinks. Yeah. I got to get this odor and this blood out.
Yeah.
Oh, Tracy. So,
they said that she seemed really desperate and asked for a foolproof way to remove a blood stain.
Okay.
She asked about muriatic acid, but they didn't sell that at the store. They're like, sorry, can't do that one.
She wanted to dwindle him down.
Yeah. So what I didn't tell you earlier was the woman seen on the CCTV at Tom Thumb, she was buying muriatic acid.
At Tom Thumb?
Yes, they sell
it. They sell that at Tom Thumb?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
So, muriatic acid, a lot of commercial...
Like Drano?
No. No, it's like a lot of commercial...
Because I know some people buy Drano to dissolve bodies.
Oh, well, no. I mean, this was like the real stuff. And apparently you can get it at Tom Thumb or... could have
or but, could yeah well, maybe that's why they went out of business.
So yeah, she bought, I think it was two bottles of that and black trash bags.
Okay.
In fact, detectives say that every item that that woman purchased was found in Tracy's home.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Even the thighs.
The matching set
that
of thighs.
That two-piece thighs was found in her home, them chicken legs.
Oh, my gosh. So 3 years after the murder, Tracy went to trial, and she and her attorney were confident that that the state did not have enough to convict her.
Okay, Brian Koberger.
The attorney argued that there's no physical evidence to prove who killed David. No gun, no bullets, no blood.
Well, okay.
The DA, on the other hand, was very confident that Tracy murdered David and says that she is just the type of person to kill without a motive. He said, Tracy, yeah, she's going to get what she wants, and she doesn't care how she's going to get it, even if it means murder. Yeah. Detective Hallmark says... the motive was money, greed, and a sense of entitlement to keep the house.
Mm-hmm.
So the trial, it took 2 weeks. The jury, after 4 hours of deliberation, came out with their verdict of guilty of murder.
Good.
She was sentenced to 40 years in prison. her projected release date is September 29th of 2044. So she will be around 74 when she gets released. However, she is eligible for parole after serving 20 years. And that eligibility date is September 29th of 2024, next year.
Whoa.
And she will be like 55. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So circumstantial cases, yes. Okay, circumstantial. But that is evidence.
A lot of evidence.
When you put it all together, I mean, the circumstance is physical. The evidence. It is physical. It's tangible. I mean, you may not have the DNA.
Yeah.
But what about the remote?
In. Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of questions about the evidence they did have or could have collected.
Yeah.
Like the tire impressions, the truck. I mean, that's physical evidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously the jury agreed because... Yeah. Here we are. But it always makes me laugh when a defense attorney says, well, this is a circumstantial case. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It is circumstantial, but there was an indictment. There was an indictment for a reason.
Exactly.
And your client is on trial for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the mattress. We don't need the gun. We have the cars being parked, the surveillance footage, the stuff she bought, the rewards card. I mean...
What more do you need?
That's better than having the gun.
Yeah.
If you ask me, we
see her preparing to dispose of a body.
Oh, I think she was planning this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. And had she been the one to call police and say she couldn't find David, or had she had any interest or pretended in any way to be looking for him and hadn't told multiple people... Multiple different stories. Mm-hmm. Maybe they wouldn't have looked into her so hard.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know,
Yeah, and that's one thing that the detective said. Like, you can plan all you want, mm-hmm. but eventually you're going to get caught. Like, you're going to make a mistake.
It's the little things.
And she had a plan, and it seemed like a good one, but she was... Not so intelligent in sloppy. A lot of things, yeah.
Very sloppy.
Yeah.
She should have wore baggy pants, all I have to say.
Oopsie. And Mr. She Roland, had legs her that thighs wouldn't do quit. Touch.
He's only seen her in a prison jumpsuit. What does he know?
Yeah.
Bless. He doesn't know what her thighs look like. In real life.
Well, okay, so he was a friend from the lake, so she was wearing two pieces, maybe, but I'm telling
but
you.
But from far away. And maybe he was drunk every time he saw her. So maybe she you was a 50-footer. Well, that was a twisty one. Like,
yes, it was.
I mean, I like circumstantial cases. I think DNA is great. It feels like a slam dunk, but I think circumstantial cases are way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Because you can build the timeline. You can do all this stuff.
They got her.
Yep. All right. Well,
y'all... rest in peace, David.
Yes.
This hope was y'all great, enjoyed. Lena.
It was great.
Let's do this again sometime.
Okay. We'll do it next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.